morning, I have felt the digging inside my heart of the Holy Ghost and direction of God. God has helped me this weekend to have a great, great time before His throne. Amen. Yesterday morning here at the church, what a beautiful, beautiful move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That God helped me to encounter, amen, a place that I needed to be in. Amen. And then all through this week, the Lord has helped me, directed me, spoke to me, guided me. And I'm so thankful today for the privilege of being in the house of God. Amen. And you ought to be thankful to be in the house of God as well. Amen. Brother Pearl, your class can go. Amen. God bless our youth class. Amen. I'm sorry. I got sidetracked. Amen. But we want to go to Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 24. Romans 7 and verse 24. Paul was the writer of this letter that God was anointing him. And God was the one that was instituting this instruction. And Paul was penning it. But Paul made a statement here as he was anointed of God. As he's writing to the church. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, what a failure I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death?" I want today to just, amen, focus your, amen, the focus of your heart today upon the help from God, that God is our help. He is our deliverer. And you ever got to the place you just needed some help in life, and you look at yourself and realize that I need help. Today, I'm glad that my help coming from the Lord, don't you? Amen. Are you thankful for the power of the Lord? Amen. Would you put your Bible aside just a moment? Amen. And I want you today, you to connect, if you would just plug in with me. Amen. And I want you to talk to Jesus. Jesus, would you help me to connect to you? Would you help me, Lord, to have an open heart to hear what your Spirit is saying? God, to know what your Spirit is prompting. And Lord, to do what you're trying to get over to me. Help me, God, to be mindful, Lord, of my mission, my responsibility, and my purpose. We thank you, Jesus. We give you praise in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Praise God. Thank you for standing and praying with me. There was a Roman philosopher, even before Jesus was born. He was a statesman and a playwright. His name was Seneca. Many called him Seneca the Younger. He was born about 4 BC and died about 65 AD. And history will show you that he is one of the most influential Stoic philosophers from ancient Rome that would write about the things of life that you encounter. And he wrote about self-control. Well, we need some of that, don't we? He talked about moral disciplines. And that's not whipping somebody, but learning to discipline yourself. And he talked about virtue, values. And he talked about the struggle that humans have against vice. How some people just can't help but just do wrong. Inside of them, there is no control. And, you know, we could look at other people. We could look at other people and we could judge them and say, you know, they need. But when we stop and look in the mirror, we are like Paul that said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Amen. How many has ever had problems with you? Amen. I've had problems with me because, amen, me is the mission that God has given in my life to take care of. You are your mission field. There's a lot of people like to take care of the other people's problems. They like to have an analysis. They like to have the opportunity to prescribe and to project what they need to do. But friend, I want to tell you, you're responsible for yourself. God has given, amen, the responsibility for you to take care of you and your spiritual being as well. In Seneca, in his writings, it's unique that this great philosopher that talked about self-control, about disciplining yourself, about values and the struggles and all the different things that man has, he made a statement. in essence, that said this: oh, that a hand would come down from heaven and deliver me from my besetting sin. Oh, if there was a hand that would just come down from heaven and deliver me from my besetting sin. Have you ever had something knock your blocks off and you just keep, it got your spirit, it got your attitude? How many's ever had that happen? That something that just got underneath your skin, and it was something that became familiar to you, and you always said, why does that constantly happen to me? Why is it that this keeps messing me up, knocking me off course? When I want to do good, evil's always present. When I try to get things right, I'm always falling in the mud puddle again. Amen. I can remember as a kid, I have a younger brother that's 2 years younger than me named Jay. And Jay could not stay out of the mud puddles. Jay, in South Louisiana, where he was raised, it's always a lot of rain and a lot of mud. And my mother got us ready for church. His all four boys in the home. And mama had us all ready. We were getting ready to get in the vehicle to go to church. And Jay, probably a 3 or 4 year old, just could not resist it. He had to take the shoe and splash the mud puddle. When he did, if I can remember right, it seems in my brain, he had pretty little white pants on. And when he splashed, it got over him and got him all muddy. Jay could not resist the mud puddle. Well, mama couldn't resist to straighten some things up either. I mean, oh, friend. And here he was. We were delayed now. She had to go back in and change him, and I mean, get him changed and back, you know. But he got what came that day. But it did not fix the solution, because time and time again, if Jay did anything, it was to get in that mud puddle. And we covered it up, but he would make another mud puddle. It seems that this boy could not stay out of the mud puddle. And it sounds like some of us, we can't stay out of the pit sometimes, amen, that we make for ourselves. Amen. Oh, friend, I want to tell you, amen, you think that everybody else has problems, but I want to tell you, in yourself, amen, in you, amen, there is that propensity, amen, always to fail and falter. Everybody has a weak area in your life. Don't you think, amen, that you have it together? Even the strongest, amen, even the ones that have everything, that are very self-disciplined, amen, there's things that know how to crawl in. The Bible says you need to watch the little foxes, they spoil the vine. There's little things that get inside of you. And this man that was a philosopher, Seneca, he began to say the same thing. Oh, if there was a hand just to help me and deliver me from this. This man knew what to do right. And he revealed something profound. He wanted to do what was right, but he found himself unable to conquer that willpower alone. He needed something above. And this is a classic frustration. Stoicism taught self-mastery, that you could handle things, but it offered no redeemer. No divine power to change the heart. Only human effort. Everybody says, you know, you could do it, self-help books and all this, and you could go through this course and learn how to. But friend, when it comes to the last moment, it's hard to resist that Oreo. It's hard to say no to something. It's hard, amen, not to think that thought when somebody just looks at you, amen, that one time you had a problem with. And always carrying a grudge when somebody's done you wrong, to forgive them. Amen. Old spirits and old things that pass, somehow or another wants you to come back in and reestablish their camping inside of your mind. Even though you prayed many times and you said, God, please help me with this. Forgive me. All them old things want to come back and trail back to your heart and enter back inside of your mind. And this philosopher said, oh, I wish there was a hand to help me. Well, this is powerful, because this man lived before Jesus Christ, but he expressed an inner bondage that he began to become aware of, a desire for some kind of external intervention. while his philosophies and his peers always said, you could do it. You're man, you could do it. You have the ability to do it. You know how to resist. You know how to say no. But this man recognized that human effort alone is insufficient. And I want to come and I want to say to this man, amen. Because it mirrors Paul, the apostle's word. He said, for I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the good that I would not, you know, every time I would try to do something, and every time I try to do something good, evil seems to pop up. And every time I would set myself up, before I knew it, it knocked me down. This is exactly the words that Paul was trying to emphasize. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me? Seneca cried for a hand from heaven. But I'm thankful there's a gospel. There's some good news today for bad news. Are you thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus has come to set loose and to set at liberty those that are captive. And I'm thankful that Jesus Christ came to do more than diagnose even the disease, but he came to deliver a cure. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and it more abundantly. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm thankful today that God does hear our cry. We all wish for the same miracle. God, help me out of this mess. How many's ever had you know, when I got in trouble, my mother would not just say my first name. I mean, when she really meant it, it was my middle name with that. How many had a mother that did that too? I mean, Sister Donna, it was Donna Pearl, right? Donna Pearl, that's enough. And you knew when mama put that pearl in it, amen, that she was really meaning something. And I want to say many times I had to say, okay. And I had to call my name and say, you can't let that happen. You can't do that. You can't let that begin to take over. And I had to stop and say, God, I need help out of this mess that I'm making in my life. And it seems that the cycle is there. Sinful habits begin to be innocent enough. But if we don't master them, they're going to master us. We've experienced that cycle where we enjoy a forbidden pleasure. We feel guilty, determined not to do it again. We take pride in a brief moment of self-control. Then guess what? We fall again. And it seems that just whenever we think we stand, we fall. The Bible says, take heed when you think you stand. Here you go. You knock back again. And each time we repeat the pattern, it seems that the ruts are cut a little bit deeper. And the chains begin to pull just a little bit tighter. I want to say this today in the Holy Ghost. The devil would like to paint you in a corner and make you feel that there's no help for you in God. But are you thankful today for the goodness of the Lord? Amen. Why don't you lift those hands and thank him for his help today? Amen. Would you lift both of your hands and say thank you to Jesus today? Amen. I want to talk to somebody's heart. Come on, reach to him and say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping me today. Thank you for bringing hope to me. Thank you for bringing an answer to me. I praise you today, Jesus. Amen. Let's just talk about excuses. Excuses. You know, as a pastor, I always wanted to write down all the excuses that I get for people that can't come to church. You ought to hear them. You know, they'll start giving excuses. It's kind of like a song that was several years ago, excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. The devil will provide them if from church you stay away. And one part of the song said the whole family had to stay home just to blow that one kid's nose. I had people call, said, you know, brother, they could be somewhere else the next morning. And they look, well, it's amazing how quick God heals somebody on Monday morning. Or that's times that we've had service and we got out of service early. And, man, I've had to run to Walmart. And there they were. They were just a smiling when they see me. All of a sudden, they got real sick again. You know, excuses. I want to tell you, the house of God ought to be a priority to you.
Worship ought to be the central thing of your life. Amen. Hey, don't let things keep you from the house of God. But I want to go a little deeper than just begin to chastise you because of not coming to church and being on time in church. But I want to talk to you about excuses we all begin to feel. We excuse our behavior sometimes because we're just human. We become pessimistic, even defiant, and soon to find ourselves victimized by sin that seems to refuse to... Brother Crosswhite, I've given up. And the behavior pattern becomes so familiar that we even get to the place we don't want to change. That's me, and you're just going to have to accept me. Well, we get to that place where we settle into an uneasy smugness that we start feeling at home in our anger. There's people that feel at home with their lust. There's people that feel at home in their worry. And there's even something that Pentecostals don't like to talk about, and I don't like to talk about it, but we start feeling at home even in our gluttony, our laziness, our bitterness, and selfishness. You know, except for small cut, occasional moments where we make an effort to correct ourselves, it seems that we open the door and excuse ourselves and says, it's just me. But I want to tell somebody today, I'm glad that Jesus died for those things. I'm thankful that Jesus made a way. And my question today, is deliverance possible? Can we be delivered from this one step forward and two backward routine? I want to say to somebody today, my God is still God. Our God is still God. Amen. At times I felt the answer is no. Despite my sincere attempts to yield myself to God, I seem to retain certain weaknesses. Sins is a more honest word that I concluded, amen, that I simply just going to have to live with. After all, nobody's perfect is what I say. But I want to tell you, there is a promise that God has to deliver. God is a God who still can give you liberty and victory. How many still believe God can? Come on, Jesus didn't go to the cross for just any reason. He came that you may have victory. He came that you could nail, even that he could nail your problems there and your situation there. I knew that my private failure was no credit to Christ who won the victory by wearing that crown of thorns. I want to tell you, he promised that we could be free. And through many failures and many victories, I have discovered that even the most persistent sin can be dislodged. How can I get over my bitterness? How can I get over that person that despitefully have used me? Have you ever, I'm going to tell you, amen, have you ever, somebody look in your face and they just love you, and the next moment you feel like a pincushion? Where they just poke you with all kind of stuff? In the back? Have you ever been sweetened to your face and you look behind you and boy, they want to rot you down to nothing and run over you and open the door of their ear and spit in your face, so to speak? How many say dealt with people before? Have you ever dealt with people? People's going to be people, but God's going to be God. God is our help. The help is not going to come from people. People will be people, but I have a God who's still God today. There's hope for you. Well, I'm thankful today that, amen, we can be saved from sins. Even the ones safely tucked away in the crevices of our soul. God is faithful. I want you to imagine a city that is constantly being attacked at vulnerable points along one of its walls. It seemed like every time it was attacked, it's going to be attacked at the vulnerable place, which is normally the gate of a city. You know the Great Wall of China? They say you could see it from outer space. Every time that a dynasty has been conquered, guess where it has been conquered at? From the inside. Generally because there was a compromise at the gate. Somebody bought off the gatekeeper. The gate of the Great Wall of China has always been a point of weakness. And the enemy knows how to get you at your gate. What you let in and what you compromise and what you barter with inside of yourself will always be your defeat. I'm thankful today that God does have a plan for us. And if the enemy knows how to habitually exploit the same weakness and with startling success, the devil's successful. He's successful in what he's doing, but we know at the end, amen, he's going to be the loser. And God's going to have a church. God's going to have a people. God's going to have a people that through him are going to be victorious. I want you to think if the people start realizing, you know, every time we've been defeated at the gate, this has been a weak point. It looked like you would retrain, reconstruct, and put some safety things there. We ought to put some safety switches here. We ought to put more security cameras here. We ought to have more means of accountability here, more training. I don't care how much you train and how much accountability you have, the enemy still knows how to come in. Praise God. I'm talking to us today about us. And the countless Christians have repeated, amen, repeatedly have they have succumbed to the same temptations, amen, over. You could have construction program, you could have defensive programs, you could have all kind of awareness, amen, but oh, friend, I'm telling you, it seems the more you do to try to fight it, the more advertisement the enemy gets, but I'm thankful today that Jesus is still the answer, and Jesus still has the power to make you victorious. Amen. There's no easy miracles. It wouldn't be a miracle if you didn't have to go through a struggle. Our success is neither instant or automatic many times. And I want you to say this. There's a slick way that the enemy comes in. And generally, a slick and easy solution leads to false expectations and disappointments and more unbelief. And we know that, friend, even God's going to keep his word. God's going to be that one that will help us. But progress and victory seems impossible to us. It seems I will never conquer this. I could never get my hand on this thing. I could never replace this attitude or this spirit or the way I feel, the way I think. I will never be the one that can replace it with victory. And Seneca did not know that his wish had been granted when he said, I wish that a hand would come down from heaven. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ has come. Amen. And his hand is here. Have you ever needed a hand? Have you ever needed somebody to help you? You ever done a three-man job and it was just you? Have you ever had to try to turn a mattress in your weak little lady and you couldn't get that mattress off your bed and you needed somebody else and you had nobody else? Have you ever tried to do something? It was just you, your two hands and your two feet, and you couldn't do it. You needed a hand. You needed somebody else to help you. God made you that you need him. I'm telling you. And God loves it when you put the battle in his hands. I want to tell you, God wants to give you a hand today. God wants to help you. Psalm 121, the scripture says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who had made the heaven and the earth. I want to tell somebody today, amen, God wants to intervene today and help you. Amen, God has a hand reaching to help somebody here today. You feel the battle and the heat of the battle is too strong. Maybe you've quit and said, oh, well, it's not worth the fight anymore. Because every time I try, I end up again back on my face. I want to talk to somebody today that is in a valley of disappointment and discouragement and tell you God paid the price for you that you could be victorious. You don't have to accept it even though you feel failure is just your name. Even when somebody looks at you, you want to say, yeah, but you don't understand. When they talk about how great and how wonderful, how victorious things are, but you don't understand. It's just me. We start to automatically begin to pull up our condition. Or we start bringing out different things and say, but you don't realize. We're in a different culture. We're in a different time. This is Nacogdoches. God can't do it here. God, you know, I want to tell somebody God can do it here. I want to knock the devil right between the eyes today and tell him and tell you that God is still God and God still has power. He still has a hand to help you when you feel you cannot get out and when you feel trapped, you feel like the mud puddles won again. Amen. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I still have God.
Hallelujah. A hand. God wants to give you a hand. Many times we want the hand of God. We want the hand of God's blessing on our life, Sister Nina. We want the hand of anointing. We want God to touch us. We want God's blessings. But God, don't you put your hand on the reins of my life. We want the hand of God. We want God to help us out. And it's kind of like this, as a lot of times you help people out and they're appreciative of the moment. But have you ever helped somebody and they later on, they just look at you like, There's people I've helped out, they'll walk right by me that's never said thank you. I've blessed people before that has taken advantage of me. There's people that they came to me with such a sob story. Pastor, I just can't pay my bill. If it's a turn my electricity off. And friend, I've dug in and given the last bit I had, only to go a little bit later to a store. And here's that creature walking out with a buggy with a case of beer. Man, I just gave my kids money, my wife's money, my money for the week. And this cat lied to me. And whenever he was coming out of Walmart with that buggy with beer in it. And I was walking in. I stood in front of that buggy looking at that beer. And I said, you mean to tell me? You mean to tell me? I gave. I listened to your heart and I gave. You know what I want to do? I want to take that buggy and make them swallow it. Brother Jerry, unglued. You know what he did? He looked at me and just made a smucky remark. He looked at me and said, I guess you'll learn next time. Man, I wanted to knock him. I wanted to put something on him.
But the Lord said, you didn't give it to him. You gave it unto me.
I want to tell you, I'm the one that was able to put my head on the pillow that night. I was able to say, thank you, Jesus, because within a few days, God had already blessed us back. I want to tell you, God has a way of winning when you let God be God and you give the battle to God. We want the hand of God, Sister Kristen. We want God to intervene. But, old friend, I want God to have the reins of my heart. God wants the reins of your life, not just for the moment, not just for the battle, not just for the occasion, not just to make you look good, but God wants to be your Lord tomorrow. When everything's going good now, and you come through your trial, you come through your problem, God wants his hand to be still involved in your life. I want to tell you how to give the reins to the Lord today. It's just a simple thing. Amen. Sister Crosswhite, I'm going to have to borrow you. I'm going to teach you how to give the reins to the Lord. Tell him that. In sign language. Okay, here we go. I'm coming to you. We talk about the hand of God. How many knows that you need God today? We all acknowledged. God has power. He has answers. He's God. I need this gal right here. I'm telling you what. First time in 34 years. We've had an empty nest, and it's been amazing, believe it or not. We've enjoyed each other. We've enjoyed, like this. I'm telling you in a different way. I need this gal, and I need her hand. I need her to help me. She takes care of me. She blesses me. I mean, I make the coffee. That's biblical, she says. But I need her. I need her hand in my life. I need her. Brother, I'm so thankful that, I mean, our clothes are washed. My house is clean. My bed is nice.
I help her make the bed. Yes, I do. There's things that I don't have to worry about. I need her. And a lot of us men don't realize the hand that we have. And by the way, in cowboy terms, on a ranch, you hired a hand. She's not my hired hand. But Sister Denise, the beautiful thing about it, this is what God wants. When we say, God, I need your hand, God wants your hand to be in his hand. That's what God wants. God's not wanting to take over as a dictator, but God wants you to walk with him. God wants you to have a relationship. She's going to still help Brother Van. But I want you to say, God wants your hand in his hand to walk with him. Don't let go of the hand of God is when I come to talk to somebody today. Amen. Oh, if your prayer time is all about just what you want from God, you're just looking for a hired hand. If you just need God to help you out and tighten a fence and fix your problems, you're looking for a hired hand. But Sister Donna, I'm glad today that a little widow woman, a little great-grandmother could say, God, I don't want your hand just there, but I want your hand in my hand. I want to walk with you. When you start determining, God, I want a relationship with you that takes me deeper. God, where you lead, I'm going to follow. Don't you love it when somebody knows where they're going? Don't you love it when somebody is assured that everything's going to be taken care of? Don't you love it whenever there's a sense of security? Amen. And several months ago, we were somewhere, Sister Crosswhite and I, she got a little frightened because of the place we were at. And I felt her hand grip my hand as we were holding hands. There's something about that. She needed that security, honey. I'm a little bit intimidated and afraid. I'm glad that my God's there. But you know what? There's a greater thing when the Lord has your hand in his hand, that you're letting him lead you, but you're letting him love you. Some people have problems letting God love them and letting God forgive them and letting God heal them. And oh, friend, I'm going to tell somebody today, you need to try God. You need to seek God. You need to let God. You need to give God your hand and say, God, here it is. I submit to you. I give you the problem. But a lot of times after God has led us through, we let go of the hand of God. God, you did your job. Hired hand, go back to your quarters. Go back to the bunkhouse. You know what? I want God. I want God with me. I want God with me, because there's going to be a day and an hour that my appointment called death, when I breathe my last breath. I believe that, folks, if you've held the hand of God, God will lead you past, amen, this whole world into that greater place. Amen. It will be only those that have known to hold the hand of God in their life. Amen. Lift your hands, close your eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is in this place for somebody. I can encourage you today that God really loves you, Nina. God really cares about you, Riley. God really cares about you, Wesley. God cares about you. Amen. Hear me today. Amen. Brother Martin, God cares. Sister Tina, God cares about you. Amen. Sister Rhonda, God cares. Amen. He wants your hand. Come on, Sister Yvonne. He wants to hold your hand. He wants to give you assurance. Sister Ricky, he wants to guide your life. You matter to him. You mean something to him. Amen. Sister Dallas, he wants to assure you that all your choices and your stand, all these things are right with him. He wants to give you what you've been needing. Oh, if you could just learn to let God have his way by giving him your hand. Amen. He'll make you complete. Stand with me in this place this morning. Hallelujah. The hand of God and the hand of man must be together. God, all of my help cometh from you who have made the heaven and the earth. Let me pastor right now. My mother's 80 years old. Mom, we go through disappointments in life. And as I speak to my mom, I want to speak to other people in this room as well. There's sometimes you feel lonely. You feel like, what is life? You know, Everything didn't end up the way that I wanted in my picture, in my brain. But I want to tell you, God will never leave you. God will never forsake you as long as you keep your hand in God's hand. Amen. I want to tell somebody else in this room, amen, oh, you've been through situations. You've watched other people run off and leave you. Amen. You look around and say, where's my friends? Where are those that are supposed to be there? Where did my kids go? I raised them right. I did everything I knew what to do, it seemed like. And no, they're not doing the things they need to do. They gone their way. I want you to just trust the Lord today by putting your hand in His hand. What about those that said, but Lord, I thought it was going to be this way and it didn't turn out this way. Still put your hand in the hand of the Lord today. Amen. I want you to get out of your chairs this morning. I want you to come to the front. I need you to come close because the Lord wants to minister right now in this room. It may not be you that God wants to minister, but God, can God minister through you? There may be somebody next to you this morning that needs you. Somebody that has the hand of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy God. I don't want you to dismiss the opportunity right now to let God have His way, please. Hallelujah. If you would lift your voice to Jesus. Come on, lift your voice. Hallelujah. There's needs that are so great here today that need the help of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, would you let the Lord grip you? Would you let the Holy Ghost lead you? Would you let God give you assurance? Hallelujah. You may not need it right now. Amen. But there may be somebody right next to you that you don't even know. Amen. That is going through something so severe that needs a touch of God. Hallelujah. I want you to pray with me. Come on, talk to the Master. Jesus, I need you. I want you to express and acknowledge Him. Lord, I need you. I need your touch. I need your presence. I need your spirit. I need your ways, dear God. Hallelujah. I need assurance. I need peace. God, I'm bothered with something. I feel like I can't make it. I can't stand. God, I keep having the same old problem, the same old battle. I need you, Jesus. I feel a loser. I feel like, God, oh, this is happening. I need you. Hallelujah. Now, would you take your hand, and I want you to even reach to somebody near you and just lay your hand on their shoulder, and I want you to begin to pray with him. Amen. You know, your hand and the hand of God link with a brother and a sister right now. Amen. The Holy Ghost wants to minister. I want you to pray with them like they're the person that is in need today instead of just you. I want you to pray, Lord Jesus, would you stretch your hand right to the spot of their life, right to the problem. I want you to pray with fervency right now. Jesus, we need your fresh anointing. We need your help. We need your glory. We need you, God, your intervention. Hallelujah. I want you to pray with sincerity. Come on. Don't hold back a bit, please. Amen. Don't hold back. Get a hold of what God is trying to give today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Holy God, we need that assurance. We need that certainty. We need that fresh anointing. Oh God, would you flow? Would you minister? Would you heal, Lord God? I pray for healing in your house this morning. God, I pray, God, for the ability to stand, Lord. The ability, God, to be victorious. God, you see the problem. You see the rut. God, you see the problem that's persisting in me. God, give me the ability to put it in your hands. Give me the ability to let it go, God, to give it to you. I trust you and I believe you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, pray, hallelujah. Let God use you right now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of the living God, give liberty right now to that one, Lord. God, liberty from guilt and struggles, God. Lord, liberty from that situation they seem, Lord, to be in tune with, Lord God. I pray for the beauty and the righteousness of your presence right here today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Now I want you to find somebody else to go to and pray. Put your arm on their shoulders. If you're a sister, I want you to go to a sister, brother to a brother. I want you to pray with that person or somebody else. Just find somebody you feel led to. Don't leave somebody standing by themselves. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, oh God. I need what you have right now, Jesus. Holy God. Holy, 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 holy God. Come on, be that instrument that the Holy Ghost can use right now. Hallelujah. When you pray as the Holy Ghost comes on you, pray in the Spirit. Come on, pray with the ability of the Spirit. The hand of God is wanting to use you right now. Hallelujah. Let it flow through you. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost use you. Come on, let that anointing, the work of the Holy Ghost use you. Hallelujah.